Welcome to Audit IQ Update for May 6, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational, to sales, and more. Let's get into it. We have a packed episode today covering the last 10 days, and there's been quite a lot going on across the e-commerce landscape. I want to start with the big headline from Shopify, because the numbers they dropped yesterday are genuinely significant for anyone building on or selling through the platform. Shopify released its Q1 2026 financial results on May 5th, and the headline number is this: merchants on Shopify processed over $100 billion in gross merchandise volume in the first quarter alone. Let me say that again, $100 billion in a single quarter. That's up 35% year over year. Revenue hit $3.2 billion, growing 34%, and the company posted 15% free cash flow margins. President Harley Finkelstein described it as Shopify entering the AI era, with what he called a clear edge, and CFO Jeff Hoffmeister pointed to broad-based growth across geographies, merchant sizes, and channels. Now, why does this matter for monitoring? Because scale amplifies everything. When you're operating on a platform that's processing $100 billion a quarter, the cost of errors, downtime, and performance degradation scales with it. A checkout bug that affects 0.1% of transactions on that volume represents millions of dollars. The stakes have never been higher for Shopify merchants, and the need for real-time visibility into what's happening on your storefront has never been more acute. But here's where it gets really interesting from a technical perspective. Alongside those blockbuster earnings, Shopify has been making a series of platform changes that every merchant needs to be paying attention to. Let's talk about the script sunset. If you're a Shopify Plus merchant, June 30th, 2026 is the date circled on your calendar, or at least it should be. That's when Shopify permanently retires its scripts engine. Scripts have been the backbone of custom checkout logic for years. Custom discounts, shipping modifications, payment customizations. All of it goes away on June 30th. On April 30th, Shopify took an important step to ease the migration by enabling multiple product discounts to apply on a single cart line in version 2026.04 of the GraphQL admin API. This was one of the major gaps that had prevented merchants from fully migrating their scripts-based discount logic over to Shopify functions. Community forums and migration guides from agencies across the ecosystem have been flagging this as a blocker, so it's good to see Shopify addressing it with less than 2 months to go. But here's the thing. Migrating from scripts to functions isn't a simple find and replace. Scripts run in Ruby. Functions run in WebAssembly. The execution model is fundamentally different. The sandboxing is different. The way errors surface is different. And the testing burden falls entirely on the merchant. If your custom discount logic had edge cases that worked fine under scripts but behaved differently under functions, you might not discover that until real customers hit those edge cases in production. That's a scary proposition when we're talking about checkout behavior, the single most revenue-sensitive page on your entire store. This is a monitoring story through and through. If you're migrating off scripts, you need real user monitoring watching your checkout flow before, during, and after the transition. You need to know immediately if conversion rates dip, if error rates spike, if checkout latency increases. Synthetic tests in staging will catch the scenarios you think of. Real user monitoring catches the ones you don't. Staying with Shopify, there were several other notable platform updates over the past 10 days that are worth calling out. On May 5th, Shopify introduced analytics annotations. These are markers on your analytics dashboard that correspond to store events like product changes, theme deployments, and app installs. The idea is that when you see a shift in your metrics, you can now see what changed on your store at that point in time. This is genuinely useful. One of the hardest problems in e-commerce operations is correlating a metric change with a root cause. Your conversion rate dropped on Tuesday. Was it the new theme you deployed? The app you installed? A seasonal trend? Annotations start to bridge that gap. Also, on May 5th, Shopify updated its inventory transfer webhooks to include origin and destination location IDs directly in the payload. This is a developer-focused change, but it's significant for anyone building inventory management integrations. Previously, you'd have to make an additional API call to figure out where inventory was moving from and to. Now that data is included in the webhook itself, it's a small change, but it reduces API call volume and eliminates a potential point of failure in inventory tracking workflows. On May 4th, Shopify added the ability to apply discounts to items directly from the refund page, and they introduced an actor field in subscription contract mutations that tracks whether an action was initiated by the customer, the merchant, or a partner app. Both of these changes improve data accuracy and auditability, themes that resonate deeply with anyone in the monitoring and observability space. Let's shift over to WooCommerce. On May 5th, the WooCommerce team released version 10.8.0, Beta 1. This is a pre-release, so it's not intended for production environments, but it signals the beginning of the testing cycle for the next major WooCommerce release. For WooCommerce merchants and developers, this is the time to spin up a staging environment and start testing your plugins and customizations against the new version. Plugin compatibility issues are one of the most common sources of e-commerce site errors, and catching them in beta is infinitely preferable to discovering them after a production update breaks your checkout. WooCommerce also published a thorough piece on sales tax compliance for growing e-commerce stores, a reminder that the operational complexity of e-commerce extends well beyond the technical. But even tax compliance has a technical monitoring dimension. If your tax calculation service fails or returns incorrect rates, you need to know about it before it creates compliance liability or customer complaints. Now I want to zoom out from specific platform news and talk about some broader industry trends that have been making waves over the past 10 days. Let's start with performance and revenue. I've been looking at some of the latest data on page speed and its impact on e-commerce conversion, and the numbers have gotten very specific and very compelling. One widely cited analysis puts it this way. For an e-commerce site generating $10 million annually, a 500 millisecond improvement in page load time translates to roughly $500,000 in recovered revenue. Separately, research continues to show that a 1 second delay in page load reduces conversions by up to 7%. These aren't new findings in principle, but the precision of the data is new. We're past the era of vague assertions that speed matters. We now have enough real user data across enough sites to quantify the revenue impact of specific performance metrics. And that changes the conversation. Performance optimization isn't a developer nice to have anymore. It's a line item on the P&L. This connects directly to the ongoing Core Web Vitals discussion. In 2026, the consensus in the SEO community is that Core Web Vitals function primarily as a tiebreaker in Google's ranking algorithm. They won't save poor content, but they'll drag down otherwise strong content. But here's the point I want to emphasize. The conversion impact of poor performance happens regardless of how the visitor arrived. Whether they came from organic search, a paid ad, social media, or email, a slow page costs you the same conversion. So even if you think of Core Web Vitals as a minor SEO signal, the underlying performance they measure has massive direct revenue implications. Speaking of browser performance, CSS Tricks covered the Interop 2026 initiative back in February, and it's worth revisiting because its effects are starting to be felt. Interop 2026 is a collaboration between Chrome, Safari, and Firefox to bring consistent support to advanced web features, things like CSS anchor positioning, container-style queries, the advanced atter function, and scroll-driven animations. For e-commerce, this means developers can now confidently use these features to build richer product experiences without worrying about inconsistent behavior across browsers. But there's a monitoring angle here too. Richer features mean more complex rendering paths, which means more potential for performance regressions and visual instability. Exactly the kind of issues that show up in cumulative layout shift and interaction to next paint scores. If your development team is adopting these new CSS features, you need real user monitoring in place to catch any performance side effects before they impact conversion. Or, on the design and UX front, Smashing Magazine published an interesting piece on rethinking the experience of system tools. The core argument is that when function can't be made completely invisible, it inevitably becomes part of the user experience. This resonates powerfully with e-commerce monitoring. Think about loading spinners, skeleton screens, progressive image loading, cookie consent banners. All of these are system-level functions that your customers directly experience. If they're slow, janky, or intrusive, they become friction points that affect purchase behavior. Monitoring these in-between states, not just the final rendered page, is something that the most sophisticated e-commerce teams are starting to take seriously. From Practical E-commerce, we saw coverage of Google's three new AI Max updates for Google Ads. AI Max for shopping, AI Brief, and text disclaimers for search. These all use artificial intelligence with guardrails to drive advertising performance. The relevance to monitoring is indirect but real. As AI-driven advertising becomes more sophisticated at targeting and personalization, the quality of the landing experience becomes even more critical. You can have the world's best ad targeting, but if the page it sends traffic to is broken or slow, you've wasted your ad spend. The gap between advertising sophistication and site reliability is a revenue gap. There was also interesting reporting on mixed signals around AI-generated e-commerce traffic. Some data suggests AI-referred visitors are engaging more deeply and converting at higher rates, while other sources paint a more nuanced picture. What's clear is that the traffic mix is changing, and with it, the performance profile your site needs to serve. AI-referred sessions may have different expectations, different browsing patterns, and different tolerance for friction. Monitoring segmented by traffic source has never been more important. Let's talk briefly about the cart abandonment landscape in 2026, because new data from Baymard Institute and others continues to refine our understanding. The top reasons for abandonment remain consistent. Unexpected costs are number one at around 48%, followed by required account creation, and then, crucially, a checkout process that's too long or complicated at 18%. Another 17% couldn't see or calculate the total order cost up front. What strikes me about these numbers is how many of them are technically preventable with proper monitoring. A discount code that fails silently creates an unexpected cost. A payment method that doesn't render for certain browsers creates a too complicated checkout. A tax calculation error means the customer can't see the total cost. These aren't inherent problems with your business model. They're bugs, misconfigurations, and integration failures that monitoring can catch before they become abandoned carts. I also want to flag something from the competitive landscape that's relevant to how you think about monitoring strategy. The broader market for real user monitoring is projected to grow from about $1.2 billion in 2024 to $3.5 billion by 2033. That's a compound annual growth rate of 13.5%. The market is growing because the problem is growing. As e-commerce gets more complex, more integrations, more personalization, more dynamic content, more cross-border selling, the surface area for things to go wrong expands, and the cost of things going wrong scales with the revenue flowing through these systems. What we're seeing across the industry is a shift from reactive monitoring, something broke, let's fix it, to proactive monitoring. Something is degrading, let's intervene before it impacts revenue. That's a meaningful philosophical change, and it's one that the most successful e-commerce operations are already embracing. Finally, looking ahead, the next few weeks are going to be critical for Shopify merchants in particular. The June 30th script deadline is approaching fast, and we're likely to see a surge of last-minute migrations. If you're in that camp, please put monitoring in place before you flip the switch. The cost of getting it wrong at checkout is simply too high. And even if you're not dealing with scripts migration, the broader message applies. Every change to your site is a potential disruption to your revenue. And the only way to know for certain that your store is performing as expected is to watch it continuously through the eyes of your actual customers. That's your Audit IQ update for May 6th, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at Audit IQ Cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.